Bear Podcast 324. All right, okay. Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. This is Nard.
And this is Ray. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Happy Father's Day. Yeah, it's a little
happy
bit late.
Happy Bloody Father's Day at this point.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day. And it's, of course, today's it's June, and it's just a few days before Houston Pride. We ourselves have are going to be in the Pride Parade this weekend and here in Houston.
Speak for yourself. I'm not.
You're not? You're not going to go? Why not?
I'm going to be in South Carolina.
Oh, remember? I keep forgetting. Yeah, Ray's going to be visiting family while we're all marching. Ray's on the road.
That's right. While you're all marching in the heat, I'm in the nice AC car driving to South Carolina.
Wow. So, okay. But I'll be joining the Asians and Friends float again. Well, not float, but we're going to be a marching troop this year because we didn't really plan anything. We're just going to be carrying flags, but which is fine. It's going to be fun. We always find Pride Parade fun. And, of course, the Bears, Houston area Bears, will be marching also. And too bad I can't take pictures. I don't know if I can take pictures. So I have to ask our friend Al to take over with the pictures and picture taking. We'll see what happens to that. And, yeah, it's going to be a busy week. It's going to be a busy week. And, actually, this episode, it's a great episode because we have Jay Phillips from Arkansas, and he's the father of Will Phillips, who what did he do again? He refused.
He stood up for gay rights.
That's right. Yeah.
He is the future of the gay rights movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If we only had about 500,000 more little young boys like him, we'd be set.
Yep.
There would be no issues about gay marriage, mm-hmm. inequality for people because they're gay, transgendered, bi.
Yep.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Be a different world.
Yeah, and yeah, it's great to talk to. Well, we didn't have Will in the show, but his father is on. So
yeah, Will was doing drag bingo.
Yeah, attending drag bingo. So
well, yeah, he was attending.
Attending.
He wasn't in drag doing bingo, but he was there. Partying.
He was there partying.
Drag.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of fun doing drag bingo.
Yeah, so. It's always fun. Especially the first time I've ever experienced one was in the IBR in San Francisco when the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence was there. They were doing drag bingo. It was really funny. It's always fun. Yeah, it's always a fun time. We get to laugh a lot, raise lots of money for charity and stuff like that. So, yeah. So, how about a little weekend update, Ray? What's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing this weekend?
No, just had the Bear Watch wrap-up party over at Patrick's. That went very well.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody ate well, so it was a good time.
Yeah, that's right. It was fun. We were in the pool. Actually, that's a nice picture of you in the album art that I'm going to post.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any pictures from the party, so.
Yeah, well, the one you asked me to take a picture of you when you were drinking during the pool. Yeah, that one. It's a good post.
You'll have to send me those pictures or upload them to the Flickr account.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we'll do that. And then Sunday, we are big True Blood fans.
Yes, True Blood.
True Blood. Oh. So that's what we pretty much did last Sunday night at Ray's. And we had leftover steak and chicken, and I made some noodles. I fail in making noodles. I really feel bad for myself.
You're Asian, hate you for making noodles.
How did I fail? I don't know. It's just that I experimented. So next time, no experiments. Just do what the recipe tells you to do. So yeah, we watched True Blood. It was fun. It was a fun episode. And I'm looking forward to the next one. And did you hear that the part where Suki was saying, I can't wait to see Bill. And he opens the door and says, Suki. Suki. That was, well, something like that. I don't remember the dialogue, but that's pretty much what he said.
Well, the best one was the Suki song by
Snoop Dogg. Oh, wow.
That was hilarious.
It was really good. I'd like to watch it again and just to see that maybe it's online by now.
Yeah.
maybe on what is it? Is it the HBO? Who's?
Well, no, you have to pay for it. They don't just let those fall out to Hulu like, you know, other TV shows, because you have to pay for those things.
Can't I just see an ad just to watch it? No.
Actually, maybe since it's been on, maybe the Snoop Dogg video has been released somewhere. Maybe it's out there somewhere.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Okay.
Anyway, okay, so let's go on with our interview with Jay, and we did a Skype interview with him. It was it's kind of an almost an hour, guys. So I hope you guys enjoy, because you know, we have friends who are looking forward to this interview. So I hope you guys like it.
A 10-year-old boy from Arkansas is taking a stand by sitting down. Will Phillips is refusing to pledge allegiance to the flag in his fifth grade classroom until there really is, as the pledge says, liberty and justice for all. That is, he says, until gays and lesbians have equal rights.
Hey, everyone. This is Nard.
And this is Ray.
And joining us today is Jay Phillips. Hey, Jay.
Hello. Nice to be on.
Yes, and welcome to Bear Podcast.
And for all of your listeners that don't know, Jay is Will Phillips' dad.
Yes.
And since it's Father's Day, we're having Jay on here to talk about his son, Will, and our future activist.
Yes, he is.
Our current activist,
well, currently
actually.
He is pretty much. So, Will is very opinionated 10-year-old, and he's got so many opinions about gay marriage.
That's one way of putting it.
Yes, I know. So, okay, I guess it's been a very wild 6 months for you and your family, isn't it?
Yes, sir. We've been coast to coast. We've been all over the place. He's in person talked to thousands of people. Online, he's had hundreds of thousands have seen him speak through video and YouTube. And it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. We're so media shy, it's not even funny. But and once, when like the CNN interview that occurred, when that happened, we clamped down hard and we didn't talk to anybody for a while except very select small venues. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a firm believer that you know, notoriety is useful, fame is toxic, and especially to children.
Uh-huh.
And celebrity is not something you'd want. And so we made sure to cool things down before they could heat up.
Yeah.
And since then, things have reached a real nice pace where whenever the media wants to talk to us, we've never once made a single request to anybody to do an interview. We've always had them come to us. And we always ask ourselves, by talking to these people, are we A, going to raise awareness, and B, are we going to elevate the conversation? Mm-hmm. and get people discussing this issue?
Yeah,
because that's what changes minds is breaking through that complacency and getting people talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Well,
Jay, just to let some of our listeners know, because some of them like me live under a rock for months at a time and don't know what the hell's going on in the world. Jay's son, Will, you said it was, what, 6 months ago this all started?
Yep.
Yes, sir, about 6 months ago or so. I think back in October.
6 months ago, Will decided that he wasn't going to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, right?
That is correct. He came to the conclusion that when you say the Pledge of Allegiance, you're taking a solemn oath, as if you were standing up in court. And since he disagreed with certain core parts of the pledge, specifically the with liberty and justice for all part, he felt that mindlessly repeating the pledge was not correct and not something that should be done, and violated what he felt to be his civic duty. And so he took that stand, and he took it hard. He matter of fact, he asked me and his mother about whether or not he could do that, whether he would get in trouble, whether it was against the law. And my words to him were that his mother does not say it, I do. I find it's a expression of civic pride for myself. But I told him that he had the right to not say it. However, it's an awful lot like going to a birthday party. You have the right not to sing happy birthday, but a lot of people are going to think you're a jerk if you don't. So he knew exactly what he was getting into, and he's absolutely fearless.
Yeah, we could see that. And how did you feel? How did you feel when all this happened? I mean, I saw this interview, but can you tell the audience how did you feel about it?
Well, Jay, let's take this out. When you got the phone call from the school, what did they say? That, I mean, because
when I got
all it phone... took was my parents getting a phone call from the school, and I'd never made it home alive again.
No, I was swearing to the principal that, you know, he'd be dead by sundown. You know, he was...
yeah.
But when I got home and talked to him, that's when it became clear that this wasn't as clear-cut an issue as it seemed. And, you know, while especially the disrespect to the teacher, mm-hmm. He wrote an apology to the teacher, and, you know, we've never had any problem whatsoever with the school. The school has responded exactly the way they should in most regards, and the principal specifically was so cool and professional that she turned a potential ACLU situation into a mere CNN bonanza. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's always good.
Yes, it is.
Because some principals, you never know. I mean, you go night and day on principals at school.
All so. I know is if he had gotten a paddling, there would have been a problem. So,
yes.
Mm-hmm,
well, they still do corporate punishment there?
It's been done.
Oh, really?
Yes, I had outlawed that in all schools.
Hey, we're in the South. You got to remember.
Yeah.
I know. Hey, I grew up in South Carolina, so I've got my butt battle plenty of times.
We're in Texas, so
cut all that out. So they don't. They do it here now. It's like you've killed a kid or something. But did Will's ideas just come out of like left field for you, or is it something that y'all knew that he had talked to y'all about or anything like that, or what exposure he had?
He had discussed it with us. He's always been very, very fair-minded. When he was a little kid in preschool, when he was, I guess, 4, he had a friend who had speech problems, and other kids were making fun of him, and he asked why they were making fun of him, and when he found out, he was so angry. I mean, just absolutely outraged that they would make fun of this kid for something he couldn't do anything about. And he would go to bat, and he made sure the kid stayed off this kid's back. Mm-hmm. And little things like that we've seen throughout the years where he has very strong ideas on what's wrong and what's right. And he's not easy to deter once he determines a course is correct.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. What is his background? Do y'all assume that y'all have family and friends that are gay or lesbian, and he's interacted with them or had some social interaction?
His mother and I in high school both had very close friends and acquaintances and loved ones who were gay or lesbian. And we saw firsthand what they went through, what it was like to grow up gay, and the things they had to suffer that were so needless and pointless and unnecessary, I think really shaped us. And then when we met each other, if memory serves, I believe the month we met each other was Matthew Shepard.
Oh.
Was killed. And we actually got to, when we went to San Francisco, we got to meet Judy Shepard. And that was an amazing moment for us. Because that was one thing that definitely further reinforced and informed our thoughts as straight allies. And then on top of that, we both worked, this may seem a little odd, but we both worked at an inpatient facility for juvenile sex offenders. And that gave us a whole lot of experience dealing with all kinds of things. And, you know, when people talk about the LGBT community as being, you know, diseased or having psychological problems. If you've worked with the mentally ill, you know that's not the case. I'm sorry.
The mentally ill every week.
It's an asinine statement.
Yeah.
But so from there, I went into law enforcement, was a juvenile detention officer. She's a pediatric nurse by training. And, you know, our experience is very much shaped and further reinforced those conclusions we'd come to. And then, you know, we just raised our kids to know that, you know, people are people. Hmm. I mean, and that's it. You don't judge people based on arbitrary lines in the sand. You judge people based on who they are. And when we started attending, I guess a little over 2 years ago, our local Unitarian Universalist fellowship. They're a welcoming congregation. It was like a church founded by 19th century nerds that was annexed by 20th century LGBT folk. I gotta say, I'm not a churchy kind of person, but no, they had one year they had. We showed up to church not long after we arrived, and everyone was so nice, and we fit in so well. And in the parking lot, I see these two ladies with these really cool-looking witch hats on.
Oh.
And I complimented one of them. Like, one had, like, purple shag on it. It was very cool. And I said, "I like your hat." And she goes, "Thank you. But after all, it is Harry Potter Day."
Oh.
And I kind of laughed. So we went in. I swear, they had a service where they had readings from the Harry Potter books.
Really?
Oh, half the congregation was in costume.
Yeah.
And the sermon was about, you know, like life lessons and things that you can pull away from the Harry Potter books.
Oh.
And yeah, we knew we'd found a home there. So
okay.
Well, I was just telling Maynard before we got started, I was just like, do you realize that Will looks like Harry Potter?
Yeah, I was about to say.
No, it drives him crazy. We tease him sometimes. We'll be like, "Yeah, it's Harry Potter and the Sword of Intolerance." Just to get a rise out of it.
All right. That'd be
I bet you dinner time, sitting around the dinner table is interesting at your house.
Yeah.
It actually, what's more interesting is the car rides.
Oh.
Which usually turn to history or just about anything you can name. And that's actually where the pledge conversation came up.
I see.
Was in a car ride. And, you know, Will learned firsthand from all these different sources, these friends, from the people we see at church. Will, with his own eyes, we didn't have to tell him about equality issues. He got to see the inequality. I have a friend of mine, a very dear friend, who after 14 years with his partner separated. 14 years. Most marriages don't last 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when they separated, they had no judge to split up their communal property. They were both on a mortgage. Neither of them can afford to refinance. That's one thing I use when I talk to straight people who just don't seem to get it, especially ones that are going through divorces.
Mm-hmm.
I say, be thankful you have a divorce. You know, there's an awful lot of talk about gay marriage, but divorce is at times a gift in and of itself. Being able to have a judge say, okay, well, you get the mortgage, you get the car payment. You know, if you don't have a judge to do that, that's very, very hard to split up. And some people can be financially wedded to each other years after they've split. And that's just not right.
Yeah, for gay couples, they would have to go through a lawyer and get things done in a contract and stuff like that. So that really adds to the effort, as opposed to straight marriages where everything's easy, like what you said, judge could just simply do the decision. Yeah,
and that's not equal protection under the law.
Mm-hmm.
No,
not at
so
all.
So Will an only child, or do you have other children?
Oh, we have three children. We have a three-year-old girl named Hadrian, who will be four next month, and will be 14 shortly after that. She is an abs. I don't know how this happened, but we somehow raised a princess. She's an absolute prima donna. I kid you not. Her first word, not mama, not dada, not baba, shoe.
Oh,
shoe. Her very first sentence was, "Daddy, stop it."
Oh, really? Okay.
And her very second sentence, and I quote, her name is Hadrian with an H. We call her Hady for short. Mm-hmm. Her very first, yeah, we're nerdy and name our children after Roman emperors. But okay. In any case, her second sentence ever was, "Hady, love shopping. Love it, love it, love it."
Oh, wow.
So I'm in a lot of trouble.
She's ready now. She's going to wear Prada soon.
Her younger brother, Ben, who is two, at the age of one, he's like Bam Bam from the Flintstones. No, at the age of one, he could rip closet doors off their hinges. we had to barricade his window next to his bed because he broke it out with his bare hands. He's immensely strong, but he's so sweet. He's absolutely the sweetest little guy, except for the fact that he's a soulless killing machine with no remorse. And so we've got a interesting brood.
And with Will, he's not much of a trouble. I mean, not really trouble, but not prima donna. Not a Bam Bam like. No.
No, he's you know, I hate to say it, but he's a normal kid. He's a good kid. He's got a good heart. You know, he has, you know, every kid goes through, you know, their phases, but by and large, the most problems we've had out of him is it seems that he has done a lot of that self-actualizing that children tend to do in their teenage years a little earlier. But since he's doing it without hormones running interference, it's an awful lot easier, and it's been a pretty smooth ride.
Does he still get in trouble in school? Not trouble, but the name calling and stuff. Does that happen still?
Well, it's interesting. He did continue to have problems with that, but our family policy for a good long while has been, you know, when he first had problems with bullies, when he was in, I guess, kindergarten, first grade, and he wanted to know what to do, I told him flat out, honestly, that there really is no good solution to bullies. I said, you can go tell the teacher, but then that's not going to stop it. It's not necessarily going to help, and it might make it worse. You could do nothing, but that's just going to encourage them, and that's not going to help. I said, ultimately, you've got to find a solution that works. And it's something that's the solution is different for every person in every case. I said, if you're being physically hurt, if you need help, come to us and we will help you. But I said these things honestly, and this is something we've always, if you're old enough to ask, you're old enough to know. And if you ask, I'm going to give you a straight answer. I had to tell them that, generally speaking, bully problems work out best when the child works it out themselves. And he rose to the occasion time and time again and turned bad social situations into good social situations. Before he skipped the fourth grade, he was easily one of the most popular kids in school, had lots of friends, and all the teachers loved him. And he skipped from third to fifth, went from elementary school to middle school, and suddenly all of the kids who were fourth graders and were bullies the year before were suddenly his classmates. And he's the new kid in school, in a new school, cut off from his old friends. And on top of that, academically, being challenged for the first time in his life. And the thing that really floors me is me, I don't know about you, but my instincts, you put me in that situation, and I'm going to keep a low profile. And I'm not going to expose myself too much. But then he goes out on this activist crusade of his, mm-hmm. and makes a huge target of himself in doing so, knowing that he's putting himself out there. And that's what really floored me, mm-hmm. was he knew what was going to come from it. And so he did have some lingering bully problems, and we ended up deciding to homeschool him at the end of the year. Not so much because of the bully problems. Those were manageable, I'd say. They were tolerable. Mm-hmm. But because, once again, we'd reached a situation where he wasn't being challenged in school, and he was bored. Really? And so we decided we'd do some homeschooling, let him... we found some really great programs online, and just let him push himself as hard as he can and see what he can do. Put the responsibility on him. If you want to succeed, if you want to make it in life, you can do it. I've told him since he was little that you've got the ability to be whatever you want, and that's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because you have the opportunity. But it's a curse in that you don't have any excuses. So you can do it if you want to do it. Yeah. And
well, after all this, how does Laura? How does your wife feel about all this? All this.
She's she said she needs a personal assistant or a media director or something. Yeah. She's I tell people readily, she's the brains of our outfit. I'm just the eye candy.
Oh, eye candy. Oh, you said the word. Oh, it's
don't get Maynard started.
Well, we have some audience. Some of our audience are looking forward to this interview also because of for reasons. Anyway, so how about you as a dad? How do you feel in general now that you're now in the spotlight like this?
Well, generally speaking, I don't care for the spotlight, oh, really? But like I said, if it's for a good cause, mm-hmm. Then that doesn't bother me a bit. And especially, I'll tell you, the attention I in particular have received doesn't bother me at all because, a kind word is always a kind word, and you can never hear that enough. I'm, for example... a big philosophy of mine has been for a good long while that people don't give enough compliments in life. Oftentimes, I'll see a girl who's got a nice pair of glasses or who...
A pair of glasses, okay.
I've got a thing for girls and glasses, I don't know. But or say her hair looks nice, A lot of people would notice that, but not say anything. I try and force myself to come out of my shell and say something, because if you compliment somebody, even over something small like their glasses, that can absolutely make their day. And there's no reason you shouldn't give compliments. And matter of fact, if I hadn't followed that policy, I probably wouldn't be married to Laura right now.
Ah, it was her glasses. No.
Actually, it was her eyes, but she has really dreamy eyes. But I actually didn't. It was weird. Whenever I met her, I couldn't articulate that. It somehow seemed indecent, and so I swear this smooth line, guys. The best I could come up with was, "You have really pretty hair."
Okay.
And somehow she came back and gave me her phone number after that.
Oh,
so.
Okay. We should keep that in mind, Ray. I don't know if with guys, you just compliment their hair. Usually they're just buzz cut. But anyway, okay, so you guys have been traveling. You guys have been going around the country now. You've been to New York. You've been to the West Coast. And it's nice. It's nice that you guys have been invited to places. So just to do the speech, they're always invited. Will is always invited to do some speech.
That's been the way it's been. He was invited back in November, I believe, by NCLR out to San Francisco for their annual gala. They gave him their Fierce Ally of the Year award. And then he was invited to the GLAAD Media Awards in New York, where he was given an award for the CNN piece. And, you know, honestly, I think he was invited for those awards. And, you know, it, customary when you get an award, you give an acceptance speech. And so Will wrote acceptance speeches. He had editing assistance from his parents because, honestly, show me the 10-year-old that knows the form for an acceptance speech. I think, honestly, every time I've seen him speak, small venue, big venue, you seem to see the same pattern. Most people don't know who he is when he starts. They seem very bemused because there's this kid and he's cute and aw, he's talking. And then they start listening to him. And then they start looking at each other. And they start making these incredulous faces. And then as he gets going, he picks them up. And by the end of the speech, he has them eating out of his hand. And he just tears down the place. It's so crazy to watch time and time again. And just when you think, like the last, we went to GLSEN in New York for their annual conference. And the speech he read there was actually not written by him. And he got it an hour before he was supposed to read it because we had to go talk to Joy Behar. And he only had an hour to review it. He read through it a couple times in his head, maybe once aloud. And it was his first time ever using a teleprompter. Oh. And teleprompter's a tricky thing to use. And he knocked it out of the park. And he was so comfortable. It's weird. He gets up there and something clicks and he's just so at ease. And that's one thing I'm so, and I know I'm yammering on here, but I'm so appreciative of the educational opportunity he's been given. There's not many adults who get the opportunity to, you know, address a crowd of 2,000 people, including movie stars, TV stars, policymakers, movers and shakers, and whatnot, and not only face that challenge, but grapple with it with open arms and overcome it and do it with style and panache. That's not something most people get to experience.
Not too many. And Will was able to pull it off. Wow.
Yeah. And he also uses big words. I got confused.
That's right. Was it your idea with the live long and prosper part?
Actually, I think he suggested it.
He suggested it, okay.
Yeah, well, I think actually if memory serves, and this is very fuzzy, I think that he was looking for something to stick the landing, and I suggested maybe something Star Trek-y.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do the Spock thing.
Okay.
Is he a big Star Trek fan?
He is. Not so much the original series, but that's just because it's not on and he doesn't get to see it very much. But he's actually, while he's been in, I'm such a nerd, while he's been in his preparation for homeschooling, I've actually had him as an assignment watch a rerun of Next Generation once a day.
Okay. Nice. You know, Jay, Ray and I are big Trekkies too, so it was kind of exciting to know that the you yourself have your son watch Star Trek TNG. Yeah, so right now, where is Will now? He's home. He's at home right now, right?
Actually, he is at a an event for the, like a fundraiser event here in town, which is at a pizza place, which is like obviously he's not partaking in the beer, but beer, pizza, and bingo with drag queens.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a hoot. I left that to come talk to you, so you should be most flattered there.
Yeah.
Oh, you live in the drag queens too long. He's gonna have such. He's gonna be talking like a sailor.
Yeah, it must be the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Yep. There you go.
I'm just guessing if it's them. They usually do the bingo things.
I just like drag queen bingo.
That's so funny.
It rolls off the tongue. It's so
It's always good.
Poetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So wow. So you met a lot of actors and in New York or in the GLAAD meets or the one in San Francisco?
Yes, we've met a few, especially at GLAAD. Laura and Will made the circuit of the room, and actually, funny story. Sigourney Weaver was sitting at a table not 4 feet from me. I could have leaned over and tapped her on the elbow. And halfway through the meal, I lean over to Laura and I whisper, I say, "Hey, you dare me to flick mashed potatoes at Sigourney Weaver?" And she looks at me with a shocked, aghast face, which every husband loves to see. And she goes, "Stop it, behave." And I said to her, "But how many times in my life am I going to have the opportunity to flick mashed potatoes at Sigourney Weaver? Not that I have any problem with Sigourney Weaver. I love Sigourney Weaver. But how many times in your life, how many times in anyone's lifetime have they had the opportunity to flick mashed potatoes at Sigourney Weaver?" That's all I could think about.
You're just a tap away. Well, of course, there's always a risk of being escorted out. But
I figured number one, in addition to it not being very nice, mm-hmm. And number two, me not wanting to cry every time I watch Aliens in the future. there's the fact that I'm pretty sure her security escort would have had me on the ground before the potatoes hit the ground. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Sigourney, I always think of her as Ripley also.
Did you get to meet Jane Lynch?
Yes, we did. Actually, we had a good friend of ours named Mitzi who was going to be in the hospital. And she gave us – I actually have a picture on my Facebook – she gave us there's like a Welsh god, I think, called Cthulhu that I'm not terribly familiar with,
but
a lot of nerds are really into Cthulhu. He's like a malevolent god or something, like a demon type. And
destroyer of the world.
Exactly. So she had this, there's this lady here in Fayetteville who, if you send her, if you bring her a sock and you hire her, she will make sock creatures for you. And she made our friend Mitzi a sock Cthulhu, kind of like a sock monkey. And it was very well done. I have to give it that. And so she was going into the hospital, our friend Mitzi. And so she went through all our travels. She kept having us take sock Cthulhu with us and take pictures of, you know, sock Cthulhu contemplating eating children in the airport, or, you know, destroying Times Square, or all these different photo opportunities we sent to her. And we took her the sock Cthulhu with us when we went to go meet Jane Lynch.
I saw that picture. Okay, go ahead.
And I explained to her about our friend and asked her. She is very nice, by the way. So sweet, and her wife is just phenomenally nice too. But they were engaged at the time when we met him. But in any case, asked her if she would mind posing with the sock Cthulhu, and sure enough, she had absolutely no problem with it and gave a great picture. It was very funny, and all I could say to her when I met her was I just told her that I was so appreciative for all the laughs she'd given me over the years, and that the thing I loved most about her was the fact that anytime she smiles all the way to her eyes. And there aren't too many people who do that. And it's always a good sign when you see it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So now I understand that picture. It's
sure.
But yeah, it's
Sock Cthulhu.
And Jane Lynch. Yeah. So what are your plans now with Will? I mean, like you said, people contact you just to. This coming weekend is Pride there in Fayetteville.
Oh, I almost forgot that. Yes, we are having our family has been involved in the local Pride parade for the last 5 years. It's in recent years. I think it was around in the 80s for a while, and it flagged and sputtered and died, and they brought it back in this last decade. And we've been a part of it for the last 5 years or so. And I've usually I've been the law enforcement liaison, because all of the people involved with it tend to be like ex-California protester types. And so when they call the cops, they're trying not to call them names. And generally, that's not a good way to start. And so we would have problems with no police cooperation. We'd show up for the parade and there would be no one there to assist. And so I would call up and talk to dispatch and get somebody out there.
Ah.
And so I ended up being like the unofficial police liaison. And I would help with the roadblocks and usually ride on the last truck in the parade all the way through, which is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, Laura would show up and she would have the kids and, you know, baby strollers. You know, I don't know about other places, but here Pride Parade means, you know, families and baby strollers, and
okay.
It's a very diverse group. I understand that varies from place to place, but, yeah,
it's kind of different here in Houston. We have, floats and, dancers and what else do we have? Flag bearers. That's pretty much.
We have all those things too, but we have probably a good, on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a good family contingent that comes to Pride every year. I mean, it's a lot of baby strollers and straight moms and dads, and
that's awesome.
Crews and awesome. You know, having a good time, and that's what it's all about.
That's so good to hear. And that's one thing, you know, if I can say that, you know, especially with Will being the Grand Marshal, there's an awful lot of people who. And not just straight people. We've heard some criticism within the LGBT community of people who say, "Oh, well, having a kid be the Grand Marshal."
Oh yeah, that's right.
You're reinforcing the stereotype of the pedophile and all of that.
Oh,
that's,
no.
That's not good. And our point was, number one, we've been in this parade for 5 years. Will's been in this parade for 5 years. He would be in this parade anyway if they want to honor him and our family by declaring him Grand Marshal. We're not going to refuse that, not in a million years. And secondly, I know there's that stereotype, and it's a mean stereotype. It's untrue. It is absolutely. I mean, I used to work with sex offenders. I'm sorry. It's bullshit. Forgive me, yes. But it's baloney.
Well, most pedophilia occurs by supposedly straight men, so
yeah,
quite a bit. It's a very complex issue, and much more complex than what people make it out to be. But in any case, I think that meeting that stereotype head on. I'm sorry. Forgive me for being crass here. But Will has been all over the country, has been exposed to thousands of gay people, and he's not had a single bad experience with anybody. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's good to hear, yeah.
And if he did, I don't think that person would stand a chance.
Oh, yeah.
that would probably be not good. But,
not good for that guy. Mm-hmm.
But, so we don't have any problems with that exposure, because I think some people, for some reason, when they think of LGBT folk, they think of sex and sin and depravity. And, you know, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. Don't get me wrong here. But, you know, mm-hmm. you find those in the straight community, too. Okay, it's not exclusive. And one thing that I've repeatedly talked to straight people who have problems, they'll say, well, you know, all the time, you know, messing around with other people. And I say, so why are you opposed to them being married then? If you have a problem with them because LGBT folk, you know, don't have monogamous relationships in your view, why would you be opposed to them doing that? And they never seem to have a good answer for that.
Yeah. And yeah, it's equality. It's we all deserve the same thing, just like what Will said. Yeah.
It's pretty simple when you boil it down.
Yeah, that's right. So it's going to be this weekend that you guys are going to be marching, and Laura and the kids will be marching. Well, you'll be handling the.
Will's the grand marshal this year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he'll be in probably in the front, I guess.
We'll see how that works out. I may be walking behind the vehicle just to keep an eye out on things, or I may be riding with them. I'm not sure at this point, but in either case, it's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's
it's
good.
The Pride Parade's this weekend in Houston, too, so it's a lot of communities are having their parades.
I would say this, if you have anyone who hears this before the parade, would be interested in attending. This is a big year for Northwest Arkansas. We've had, like I said, for the first time ever I can remember, we've had positive media attention. The mayor is going to be speaking at the rally afterwards, and the mayor's going to be making a proclamation. That sort of recognition, I mean, when you consider just like last year, we could barely get the cops to show up. This is a big year, and we are on the front lines in the battle to, you know, win the hearts and minds and change the dialogue in the new South. And anyone who can attend, we need a big turnout. We need people to show up. We need people to support this. So if anyone's able to, if you're able to make it, Fayetteville, Arkansas, 10 o'clock. My email is tobe17200@yahoo.com. Email me. I'll give you directions. Mm-hmm. Okay. Come if you're able. We really, really need the support.
And how about the official website for Northwest Arkansas Pride?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what the official website is. I know you can probably find it through our All Out in June. But you can also probably also look for NWA Pride, I believe, would be how you would find it.
Oh, that's it. NWAPride.org. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Found it. NWAPride.com. So, yeah, that's probably a good place for our listeners who are interested to go to Fayetteville just to march with you guys. That'd be nice.
It's a very, very nice town. Mm-hmm. This is such an atypical southern town. Up until the 20s, matter of fact, it was called the Athens of the Ozarks. The name fell out of fashion. But starting about the 70s, you got a large infusion of genuine California hippie. And when you combine the international students from the university and everything else that comes in from being a college town, you get a very, very nice, eclectic, just very positive community. It's beautiful. We have every year Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue happens here in the fall. And it's like the second largest biker rally in the U.S., and people show up from all over because it is so gorgeous to go bike riding around here. The highways around here, the scenery is just beautiful, just beautiful. Yeah.
Okay, so, hey, how far is Hope from where you are?
Hope would probably be, I don't know, a good 8 hours, 6 hours.
Oh, it is that far, okay.
Yeah, it's down south.
Oh, okay. Because last year, during the summer also, my partner and I went to Hope, Arkansas to visit Bill Clinton's houses.
Yeah. Interesting point. Yes. We actually have Bill Clinton's first house him and Hillary lived in here in Fayetteville, because he actually taught law as well as Hillary here in Fayetteville for a number of years. Of course, both big hog fans. And so we actually have a Clinton House Museum here in Fayetteville.
Ah. Ah, okay.
So you'll have to, that gives you a good reason to come visit.
There you go. Yeah, because when we were there, we went to the where he grew up. I think the first house or the second house where he grew up. But I didn't know it's in Fayetteville where Bill and Hillary were living. Yeah, so
it's a very cute house. I drive by it every day.
Oh, nice. Okay. So any more questions for Jay, Ray?
No, I think that's it.
That's pretty much.
I wore you down.
Ah, that's fine.
I warned you. My mother always said I like to talk to hear my head round.
But it's fine.
Oh, no, this has been a great interview.
Oh yeah, this is one of the best ever. So it's
in fact,
good.
You know, when Jay starts his nomination for presidency, let me know.
Oh, Will, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, Will starts his
he
nomination.
He has a big chance.
Let me know.
You know, Will's not really all that interested in being president. And with the skeletons I've got in my closet, I've got flesh-eating zombies in my closet. I'm automatically disqualified from presidential service, I'm pretty sure. For example, when I was a kid, my mom took me and my brothers down to Little Rock to see some friends. And these friends, and kind of hippie-esque, invited us to go to a free dinner. We went to this free dinner, and it turned out it was a meeting of like Catholic priests and others who were planning on running the blockade on Cuba.
Oh, no!
I said to Mom, "Well, smile for the FBI, man, because you just killed my presidential aspirations."
Oh,
so.
No. That's funny, though. So, okay, it's been crazy. I know it's been busy for you all, media and everything. So, aside from all this, just for you guys to relax, how do you guys entertain yourselves?
Well, it's funny because actually Will, I think, was doing an interview with a German newspaper, and which still sounds weird to say, but they asked him, so how has this changed your life, all of this attention? And I loved his response. He said, well, to be perfectly honest, he said, I always forget until people like you remind me. We're such homebodies with the little kids. Anytime you go anywhere with little kids, it's like you have to have logistics ready to, you know, invade Greece or something. It's unbelievable. I don't know why I would want to invade Greece. They've never done anything wrong.
That sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tend to be. That's what you get for, Western civilization. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So, we tend to be homebodies quite a bit. We take trips into our farmer's market, but we're so weird. When we go grocery shopping, it's fun. Like, we have fun grocery shopping.
It's not a chore.
Mm-hmm. No. It's not a chore. Friday nights, every Friday night at my house, we're such nerds. We do a Riff Tracks night.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. Ray, have you heard of Riff Tracks?
That's where you watch a movie and there's a Riff Track playing or something like that?
This is, okay, you're gonna love this. This is next level nerddom here. I don't know if you're familiar with the old Mystery Science Theater.
Yep. Okay, guys, we got disconnected a little because of we have a problem with the internet. So, yeah, Jay was explaining what the Riff Tracks is.
Basically, you pay $2-$3, you get a download of an audio file, you play it along with whatever movie your copy that you paid for, so there's no copyright infringement or anything. And I was going to say The Twilight. I would never in a million years watch any Twilight movie of my own volition.
Ray would love it. Ray loves Twilight.
Oh, I'll be talking.
Well, that's the great thing. Whether you like it or whether you hate it, we found typically when it comes to these Riff Tracks, the more you dislike a movie, the funnier it is.
Okay.
And so we rented. We went so far as we rented a copy because we didn't want to buy one to watch with this. And it was so funny. We actually had to go out, swallow our pride, and buy a copy because it was so absolutely hysterical.
Riff Tracks. So, yeah, I've been hearing about that for a couple of years now. A friend of mine was into that too. But I always look at the website sometimes, but then I remember getting emails about new shows or new shows that they Riff Track. They did the Riff Tracks on.
We do it every Friday night at my house is Riff Tracks night. Usually it's myself and Will. And the Lord of the Rings ones, I think, are probably our favorite. They actually, I think That's I just a... saw, they just finished doing the last movie in the set. So I can't.
That's long.
That. Very long.
Very long. Talk about probably 7 hours or something. But
Manor, we could do the gay version.
We can do the gay version of Riff Track.
There you go. Watch it. There's a $1 million idea.
Yes. Gandalf and with the hair and everything. So, oh wait, which reminds me, Ian McKellen is gay. Yeah, that's right. And yeah, so what's the latest one you guys watched?
Oh, we watched, I believe, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory over the weekend with Neil Patrick Harris, and we also watched. Now, of course, that's the old. Willy Wonka and Neil Patrick Harris was on the Riff Tracks, I should say.
That'd been interesting.
Yes, and yeah. That was very funny. There's Jurassic Park. Weird Al guest weighed in on that one. Was involved with that, and then over the weekend, I think we watched Ocean's 11, which was really really funny.
Maybe that's a way for us, Ray, to watch old movies at some time. We can do that.
They have one for, I swear, they have one for Casablanca.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Oh. So good. So good.
You know what? I would think because, okay, honestly, maybe the listeners will give me a hard time about this because I really didn't like Casablanca. So you're saying that if it's a really bad movie for people, it would be a good
No, some of my favorites are like Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone.
Over the Top.
Yeah, the
Over
arm
the
wrestling
Top, Dan,
movie.
Over the Top. Yeah,
truck driver arm wrestling. Yeah, no, Independence Day. Fabulous. That was so great.
Yeah, with Independence Day, that's when with Will Smith, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and of course, Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid, the father. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so we better check that out, Ray.
Yep, we'll have to do some Riff Tracks.
Do some Riff Tracks in the future. Well, Jay, it's been a pleasure. It's awesome to have you in the show. It's great to, it's a Father's Day special. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. And this weekend, I hope you guys have fun there at the parade.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, and I'll be thinking about you guys as I do my 19-hour drive to South Carolina.
A message to President Obama. I know there are certain political restraints that make action difficult. However, lack of equality for some is lack of equality for all. And I think it's time for us all to get equal. President Theodore Roosevelt often mentioned the bully pulpit of the presidency. My voice is small, has gone far, and with hope has done much good. I think the bully pulpit of your office could go farther and with help do much more. Thank you again, and to quote... Oh, sorry. Thank you again, and to quote a great modern-day thinker, live long and prosper.
Thank you, Jay, for joining us in the show. It's
yes, Jay. Thank you. Mm-hmm, thank you for being such a great dad.
Yes,
he's an understanding dad.
Very understanding dad, and also a very understanding mom, Laura. Thank you, Laura, for being the scheduling queen. She's the one who's been scheduling with us. Actually, what happened was we were supposed to record with them Monday night, but something came up. They were asked to do a spot on Fox News, I think, or some local TV TV news there in Fayetteville, I think, where they are. And wait, I forgot what city, but I don't know if it's
Fayetteville.
I don't know if it's Fayetteville or in the city where they are, where they live. But
yeah, Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Yeah. Okay. So they went there. They had to record do a taping of an interview with Will and Jay. And it's already. I posted it on my Facebook account, and it's pretty good. It's good to see them. So that's what happened last Monday. We were supposed to record with them, but they had to do a spot on TV news, so we had to reschedule on Tuesday night. So here we are on Tuesday night. We got to have Jay in the show. So again, thank you, Jay, and more power to you and your family.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So moving on, we're going to have... here's an email. Actually, it's going to be a long... From Don, our listener from Canada. So he's saying here, calling all bears, chubs, and chasers. Bears by Nature Toronto is a group of bears, chubs, and chasers whose objective every year is to participate in Toronto's Pride Parade. We are inviting all bears, chubs, chasers, and our fans to come join us at this year's Pride Parade on Sunday, July 4th. Pride in Toronto runs from June 25th to July 4th, with the parade being held on Sunday, July 4th. The parade starts around 1 p.m. and ends around 4 p.m. The route itself is along Yonge Street. So I'll probably put the link on the website on how to contact. There's a YouTube video too. I'll put the link on the YouTube video of shot in Orso Vision. they call it shot in Orso Vision. So it's from Dawn. You can email them at Bears by Nature TO@gmail.com if you want more information about the Pride Parade this coming weekend for them there in Toronto. Okay, so as for us, this coming Saturday, it's going to be Pride Parade. And
for you.
For me. For us. Well, Ray is driving. How are we going to record? I'll probably give you a call or something on Monday. How's that?
Yeah. We'll see.
Let's see.
If I can bring myself off the beach to answer the phone.
Oh, you're going to be at the beach? Relaxing?
Yeah. Myrtle Beach.
Oh, wow.
All week long.
Oh,
working on the tan.
Wait, you don't get tan. You get red.
Cruising the beach boys, running up and down the beach with their nice, toned little bodies.
Ray, this is
tempting me.
Ray, keep it PG, okay? Keep it PG. So... Yeah, this coming weekend it's a fun week for you then. So you'll be visiting family.
Get to see the family, get to see my mom, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good for you. What else is gonna happen? Next week is a couple weeks from now it's gonna be 4th of July. We're gonna be I'll be out of town. I'll be in Dallas for softball, probably talk about
I'll be
it.
Coming back to Houston.
When will you be driving back?
Third and fourth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. So, next week we're planning to have an interview again with a bear author. So we're going to plan that as we go along. So we'll wing it. Okay. So that's it. We're closing this out. Wow.
Yep.
Get out of here. It's getting late.
I need to give a shout out to Tony Stigall. Hope you feel better, buddy. Get well.
Get well, Tony.
Been under the weather. So.
Mm-hmm. And who else? Also, we're going to shout out to shout out to the Phillips family, Jay, Laura, and Will, of course, and Ben and Heidi. They're a very, very good family there in Arkansas. And Jay was with us this episode. And happy Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all of you fathers there. I know this is kind of late by the time you guys hear it, but that's how it is. That's how it is with podcasting. We just record and do whenever and get it out whenever we can. Okay, so if you have any comments, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com, or you can email us individually. God, I'm eating my words. nard@bearpodcast.com.
ray@bearpodcast.com, or you can give us a call on the hotline at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes, and give us a call, and we will play it in the show. And subscribe by iTunes, follow us on MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. And on the episode, just click on the big image You'll see Jay's picture there on episode 324. And you just click on the big image and it would, you'll see the player. You can play the audio on the website. Or, like I said, go to bearpodcast.com for the whole episode. You can just go there, download it directly, the MP3. Or you can also subscribe by iTunes, like I said earlier. And just search for Bear Podcast on iTunes. Okay, thank you everyone for listening. And happy Pride. And happy Father's Day. And any last words, Ray?
Have a good time this weekend, everybody.
Yep.
I'll be thinking about y'all on the drink on the beach, drinking pina coladas and other little daiquiri drinks.
Nice. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Usually give people way more they call up for an interview and what they get is a conversation, and
that's,
well, that's perfect. That's
perfect.
What you want.
Yes. That's what you're gonna get here, so that's okay.
Well, I'll warn you, my mama always said I like to talk to hear my head rattle, so
there's nothing wrong with that.